welcome into another Saturday of Woods and Water, South Carolina. It's a beautiful day, and you know why? Today is the beginning of the season. If you don't know what I'm talking about there, you probably didn't grow up in South Carolina. If you grew up in South Carolina, and maybe not as old as me, but close, you'll know the beginning of the season is the opening day dove season, which is today, September the 2nd. And, you know, as a kid growing up, that's when it, I mean, yeah, school was coming back in. You hated to go back to school, but hunting season was here. And so that makes today is a special day in my life, always will be. In fact, you're listening to not me sitting here at the table today. I'm actually out on the dove field somewhere and just enjoying being out there. You know, my daughter is going to be with me today, and it's getting that next generation involved. You know, National Hunting and Fishing Day is coming up September 23rd. Why don't you start right now identifying a youngster, someone in your neighborhood, somebody you go to school with, somebody you work with, and take them hunting or fishing. Introduce them to the thing that has made my life so rich, your life so rich, so many people being in the outdoors. Just a thought. But anyway, welcome to the show. We're going to spend most of the show today talking to Jerry Widener for Hunter Safety Systems. His company makes tree stand safety equipment, from the harness to the lifelines to some other things that'll help you when you go climb a tree to go deer hunting. And a lot of it's the history of Hunter Safety Systems. It's a really great conversation. I actually went and visited him in Alabama this past summer on my way to another event. So that's going to be the majority of the show today. It's funny, it's informative, and it's got a message, because September is Tree Stand Safety Awareness Month. A lot of us are hitting the woods. You know, low country's been going it for a couple of weeks now. Bow season here in the up in game zones 1 and 2 starts the 15th. Muzzleloader season comes in the 1st. And then rifle season, I think it's the 11th or 12th. I'm not quite sure on that, so don't hold me to that. I'll get you better dates. But, you know, the goal of every hunt should be to come home safely at the end of the day. So, speaking of hunting, this is from the Department of Natural Resources. If you are going to another state, be aware that you might not be able to bring back everything that you're hunting. To protect the state's extremely valuable white-tailed deer resource, DNR maintains a set of regulations restricting the importation of certain carcass parts from deer and elk harvested in states with confirmed diagnosed cases of chronic wasting disease. You know, deer hunting in South Carolina is a $200 million annual economy, and we don't want to damage that. So if you go to the DNR webpage, you can find this news article. It's from August 25th. Let's see. And, you know, CWD is a whole different discussion that we need to have on the show one of these days. I was at a conference in Austin, Texas that went into it a lot. But just be aware, if you are going to some of those western states like, well, here you go, Arkansas, Colorado, Illinois, Iowa, Kansas, Maryland, Michigan, Minnesota, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, New Mexico, New York, North Dakota, Oklahoma, Ohio, Pennsylvania, South Dakota, Texas, Utah, Virginia, West Virginia, Wisconsin, Wyoming, and the Canadian provinces of Alberta and Saskatchewan, you might not want to bring back everything, and there's a list of what you can and can't do. You didn't realize CWD is that widespread, did you? But it is. And when you're sitting in there and a biologist says everybody will have to deal with it at some point, it's here to stay. We just kind of manage around it. It will really scare you. So anyway, let's real quickly, two things on the calendar of events brought to you by Visit Anderson and Green Pine Landing and Event Center. Sunrise hike at Bald Knob. That's Table Rock State Park, September the 9th from 3:15 a.m. to 10:15 a.m. Got to get up early for this one. You're going to do a unique moonlit hike to Bald Knob overlook on Pinnacle Trail and experience the nocturnal aspects of the forest. We will enjoy the pre-dawn sky from the outcrop as we anticipate the beauty of a new sunrise. That's just one thing. That's from the South Carolina Parks website. And then another one is a moonlight canoe float. That's down at Sherall State Park, September the 9th from 6:45 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. So on the same day, if you want to go to Bald Knob and do a sunrise hike, you can do that. And then you can drive down to Sherall State Park, or over to Sherall State Park, and do a moonlight canoe float. Natural beauty, birds, and wildlife are found on the 361-acre Lake Juniper at Sherall State Park. Come join us for a quiet trip on the headwaters, accompanied by a park ranger. Paddle, relax, and enjoy the scenery. We'll leave before sunset so you can watch the sun go down and paddle back by moonlight. Just a couple of things, so hang on through the break. You're going to get a lot of information about hunter safety systems. Here are two guys that just like to talk. See you back on the other side with more Woods and Water, South Carolina. I will never work in this business again. No, you'll never work in this business And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. You know, my favorite time of the season starts today with the opening day of dove season. But for a lot of people in the Lowcountry, South Carolina, their favorite time started August 15th. I know September 15th I'll be in the woods bow hunting. October 1st, the muzzleloaders hit the woods. And then the 11th, it's wide open for anybody that wants to go deer hunting with whatever method you want to go. But there's an important piece to any deer hunting excursion that we always talk about every year. And I'm glad to welcome back my friend Jerry Widener for Hunter Safety Systems back to Woods and Water, South Carolina, to talk about tree stand safety, because it's an important thing for everyone, because our goal is to have you come home safe at the end of the day. Jerry, thank you for taking part of your day and being part of the show again this year.
Rod, what a pleasure. And I tell you what, it's always fun to get back with you, talk about our stories. Hey, talk about our hunts and what's new and what's exciting. But like the two of us have so much in common.
Yes, sir.
In the fact that we love the industry, we love what we do, and we're blessed to be able to do it.
Absolutely. We were talking during the break about, you know, the hassle of travel. You talked about going to ATA and, you know, loading up a booth and getting there and all. But once you're there, I said it's like a family reunion. You get to see people you haven't seen in a year or meet new people. It's, I guess we're at heart, you said it best, we're people persons, and that's what we do best.
Yeah, and how fortunate are we to be able to be in this industry and make a living in the passion of our industry? How many people can say that, Raj?
A few, but not a lot.
No. So we're very, very blessed.
We are, and friends often ask me, you know, 5 years ago, if I'd have told you, you would have been talking to Jerry Widener for Hunter Safety Systems, have been to his place in Alabama, spend a couple hours with him, and then have him on your radio show every year, you know, I'd have probably slapped somebody. You got to be joking me. I wouldn't be doing this. And you kind of got the same story, you know, when you were deer hunting and all and needed a safety strap, you had no idea it would turn into this company you have and the lifelong passion you've pursued with the company, hand in hand.
It's so right. And, you know, I'm always reminded all the time that it's God driven.
Yes.
God led. I understand that. I accept that. I appreciate that. And we give him the glory for it. And, not to throw religion into it, but I'm a believer, and
sure,
I know that our products have saved lots of lives. And it's not to pat ourselves on the back for that, but it's to say we're trying to follow what God's leading us to do. And it's making an effect on people, and not only those people, but the ripple effect of all the lives that are affected when it does affect that person.
That's right.
So it's a wonderful, humbling calling that we're doing.
Yeah, you are especially in a niche market of saving lives while, you know, wanting more people to get out there and hunt. It's a unique position you're in. But we've got two things we're going to talk about today. We want to touch on the Hunter Safety Systems, because you got some great products out there, and having come out and visited you for a couple hours this summer, I want you to tell us a little bit of what we talked about while I was there. But also, we've got September of Tree Stand Safety Awareness Month. You're involved with the TSSA, the Safety Awareness Foundation. Let's talk a little bit about tree stand safety, because like the website says, promoting the safe use of tree stands so that everyone comes home safe.
You know, that's it. And I've kind of got a new saying that I've been telling people, and that hunting season doesn't start on opening day. it starts long before that. It starts when we're doing our preparation, when we're hanging our stands, moving our stands, adjusting them, putting up our lifelines. That's when hunting season starts. And I say that to say, don't wait until we're up in that tree stand hunting before we start thinking about the safety
sure.
aspects. Anytime we're off the ground, we need to be thinking about it. And, you know, with that said, we try to build products that allow people to be able to do just that. Our new hanger harness, for instance, when it's not made for hunting, it's made for when you're working, when you're hanging those stands or moving those stands, and it gives you all that hands-free ability to be able to do all that while you're staying connected, and the convenience to be able to carry all the tools and things that we need to do our chores. It also keeps all the scent away from our hunting harness. So it's we're cognitive of that. First and foremost, the safety aspect, but then what do hunters need?
Right.
And I think that's where we're focusing all the time with our research and development, because we are hunters. I mean, you and I, we're hunters. And
right.
We understand the needs of hunters. So if I need it, I have to think that others need the same thing I do.
I hate to jump in front of things, but that right there, as a hunter, you see something you need, and that's how hunter safety system starts. So let's scrap this calendar I had before. I want you to, because I spent a couple hours with you there in Alabama. I was on my way to Wheeler Lake to see the college guys fish. And the story of how hunter safety system started is just, it's a great story. Tell us a little bit about the first harness and how you got into this whole industry.
You know, I am amazed when I tell the story that people are actually interested, because, you know, to me, it's just, it was just me and my brother, and we went hunting, and this is what happened. But, you know, I appreciate the fact that you are interested in it.
Yes.
And how it all started was my brother and I were hunting down in South Alabama. This goes back about 17 years ago. And we're hunting out of climbers. And we didn't have cell phones at the time, but we were using climber stands, like I said. So my brother went off to his area. I knew where he was at. I went off to my area. Just about the time I got up into my stand, I got a call from my brother on the two-way radio, and I thought, this is odd. I mean, it's not even daylight yet. You know, okay. Why is he calling me? So I could hear a panic in his voice. He said, are you up in your tree? And I said, I am. And he said, I need help. I need help right now. Bring your stand. And I never asked what happened. I just put the phone away, got to the ground, grabbed my stand, and ran just as hard as I could to get to him, not knowing what I'm going to find when I get there. And what I found was the base of my brother's tree stand had fallen to the ground. And by the grace of God, he caught himself on the climber as he was falling through. Now,
wow.
That does not happen, Roger.
And no.
I've never since heard anybody else doing that. Now, and I preface that with by the grace of God, because I truly believe that was the grace of God and also the starting point of hunter safety system. But to shorten the story, when John got to the ground and he's extremely wore out, he's just tired, he's bleeding, he's scraped up, exhaustion to the point that he's just laying flat on the ground, and I'm nervous, I'm scared, we're both just filled with emotion, and I looked at John and I said, John, why weren't you wearing your harness? And he looked back at me and he said, were you wearing yours?
Right. No.
And that was the beginning of hunter safety system, because we both had to sit there and admit our inconvenience got between us and safety, and how silly that was. And we both had a harness that day, and we both tried to put the harness on that morning, and both of us got tangled up in it and decided to just take it off, forget it. I've tried this before, I'm just not going to wear it. I tried, but it's not working. And we were staying in a camper that night. We went back to the camper, spent all night trying to come up with a way to force ourselves to wear our harness. And we're doing this not so much for us, but those that depend on us. I mean, we both have families.
Sure.
We both have families, children at home, and they're depending on us. In every aspect of that word, they're depending on us. So I've got to find a way to be able to stay safe all the time and not let inconvenience get between me and safety. So that evening, we sat and drew up all sorts of different options. What we were looking for, and some of them were just ridiculous, but we finally melted it through into the first hunter safety system harness, and which you saw. We still have the original one. And the first one we ever made, and it's up on the wall here at work. And but that was a starting point right there, how we got started.
And there's a story to getting that first harness made. And take just a couple minutes, because this is really funny. You'll enjoy this.
Well, you know, we knew we were going to have to sew this together. We got a harness and we got some material, and we went to the only person we knew that had a sewing machine, and that was John's sister-in-law. And we went to her and said, listen, we want you to sew this together for us and make this harness. And okay. So she'd give us the old, all right, leave it with me. Well, it took 2 weeks. We went back, we looked at it, we said, this is great. Look at this. I mean, this is perfect. And we said, thank you so much. I need two more now. I need one for my buddy and one for me, because three of us would normally hunt together. And she said, there's not a way in the face of this earth am I ever going to build another one. We said, what are you talking about? I need two more. She says, not for me, you know. You're not getting it. And I said, what's the problem here? She said, that was an absolute nightmare trying to sew those things together. She says, you don't understand how many hours and the time I spent to do it. And so that was it.
Yeah.
She gave it back and said, I'll never make another one, and she never did. So we ended up taking that harness to a local sewing factory that we found in a phone book, went in and asked them to build us two more of these. And they said, well, leave it with me. 2 weeks later, same thing. They handed it back to me and said, nope, can't be done. Sorry. And we said, what do you mean it can't be done? I mean, we got people that went to the moon, remember?
Sure.
I mean, I'm just wanting you to sew this, and you're a sewing factory. And they said, no, it can't happen, and it won't happen. I'm sorry. It's a manufacturing nightmare. I remember those words. It was a lady that owned the sewing factory, and she said, it's a manufacturing nightmare, and it can't be done. Nice thought, but it can't be done. So we had to then take all of this negative and figure out a way, okay, how can this not be a manufacturing nightmare? And we totally redesigned the harness portion and broke it up into parts instead of a complete harness.
Right.
And then came back to her and said, if we did it this way, could you put it together in pieces? We've got the pieces set.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at it and she said, you know, that might work. She said, leave it with me. We did. She called in a couple of days and said, okay, they're ready. Come and get them. And when we talked to her, we said, did you have any problems with that? And she said, no, not at all. She said, that was fairly easy. And bingo. Now at least the three of us had a harness that we could wear. And again, that's just how it started. Those were the infant stages.
And then
it seems like so long ago.
Yeah.
But that was it.
And then everybody kept seeing your harness. And, well, I want one of those.
That's exactly right, because we had no intentions of building these and selling them. We just wanted to stay safe. And we knew we had an obligation to our families to stay safe. And every time we would go hunting, somebody would ask us, what is that? That's a safety harness. We kind of, really? Where'd you get it? So we made it. Well, make me one. And it went like that so often, and all year that year, everywhere I would go, people would ask me to make them a harness. So then we started thinking, you know what? Other people have the same problems that we have with this. Maybe we should make some and perhaps offer them for sale. So we just took a little trial. We made 50 of them, I remember, and went to a new store that was just opening down in Dothan, Alabama. And I talked to the owner there, and he said, our opening day is going to be Saturday. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a spot if you want to sell those. Just you sell them yourself and just run them through our register. And I said, okay, fair enough. And I sat up there and talked to everybody that walked in and sold everything I had. And I said, oh, my goodness. We have a market. We have a product and a market.
Yeah.
And again, more beginning, and the most ridiculous part of the story is I bagged one up and I sent it to Cabela's.
Right. This is good, y'all. Listen to this very carefully.
You talk about naive. I knew I was pretty naive, but I didn't know how naive.
Sure.
I just sent it to Cabela's. Not not a department, not a not the hunting department or the buyer or it, just Cabela's. Put a note inside and said, if you like what you see, call. And amazingly, the phone rang, and it was Cabela's. And, I mean, I was as shocked as anybody. I thought, really? And they said, tell me about this. And I did. And they could tell from talking to me, I didn't know what in the world I was talking about.
Right.
And they said, if I was to give you an order, can you fill it? Well, who's going to say no to that? Right.
Right.
I said, well, sure. And they said, well, send me 500 of them. Well, that was like you just hit me in the back of the head with a hammer.
Sure. Sure.
500 of them. So I had to go to the bank and borrow money and convince the bank to lend me money so I can start building these. And I ended up boxing them and putting them in Dell computer boxes that I got for free from a company. And I sent them off to Cabela's, and I remember the guy called me after 2 weeks and said, man, when are you going to send the product? I'm waiting for it. And I said, well, I sent it 2 weeks ago. He said, well, we don't have it. He said, how many boxes are there? So I told him. He stopped for a minute, and he said, did you happen to send those in Dell computer boxes? I said, yeah, they're in Dell computer. I could just feel him shaking his head. He said, oh, my gosh. He said, we didn't know what that was in those boxes. Nobody could figure out who ordered the Dell computers. And but, again, that's how we started. And, you know, it's a story that I'm always amazed somebody wants to hear that because I'm exposing just how naive we were. But that
sets the stage for who you are now. So people know where you started and coming from and your intent all along, you know, keep people safe.
And that was it. And I look at it and realize that God was pushing the buttons.
Yeah.
And he said, do this. And we did it out of blind faith. And the end result is today we've literally saved thousands of lives. Yeah. And again, I don't pat ourselves on the back when I say that, Raj. It's just this is by the grace of God that those lives have been saved, and he deserves a credit for it, and we give it to him.
Yeah.
Because he's leading us, he's guiding us, we ask for direction, he offers it, and we try to be good stewards.
And a great story. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Jerry and I like to talk, as you can tell, and we're going to listen to the rest of our conversation right now. I didn't know what I was getting into when I showed up at your door, and I think we spent almost 3 hours just sitting and talking, and you gave me the tour, and I left there going, those two guys, those are my kind of people. My kind of people. I enjoyed it. I appreciate you spending that much time with us.
Well, we really enjoyed the visit. It's always fun to sit and talk and go through those old stories. And again, I'm always amazed that somebody actually wants to hear it.
Yeah.
But because it's kind of like exposing your dirty laundry.
Sure.
There, but it is what it is, and I'm not hiding behind it. And I guess I'm not asking for forgiveness. It's just that's what happened.
Yeah. So. But when people go in the store and see a Hunter Safety System vest, they're thinking, well, wow, this guy started out, he made one for himself, so now they know the story behind it. And it's a connection. It's simply connection, but it's a great story, and I enjoyed hearing it. TSSA, tell us just a little bit about what they're doing to forward tree stand safety.
You know, TSSA stands for Tree Stand Safety Awareness, and we started this just a couple of years ago, and it's for the sole purpose of bringing awareness to tree stand safety. It's not about products. It's not about companies. It's not about anything that anybody's ever going to make a profit on. It's a nonprofit organization, but it's to try to explain to people that there's ways to stay safe, and there's reasons you need to stay safe, and there's products to do it. There's instructions to help. There's video productions. There are so many ways that you can go to for resource to say, how do I do that? Or, you know, I'm hunting out of a specifically a ladder stand. Okay, what products, what areas do I need to know to stay safe in a ladder stand? Or I hunt out of a climber. Okay, is it different? Do I need something different? What do I need? How do I hook it up? How do I stay safe? How do I know I'm doing it properly? And that's what TSSA is all about, is to give the feedback and the statistics that are gathered to help people make those decisions, make sure that they're staying safe not only while they're in that tree stand, but for the moment they leave the ground until they get back to the ground. And that's the key. And I always say you've got to be able to find a way to stay safe from that first step. And the other part of it is to make sure that your buddy's doing the same thing.
That's right. It's a team sport when it comes to safety.
It sure is.
Wow. You know, we often talk, and every year we talk about this on the show, to try to get people to stay connected to that tree, to be safe, to wear your harness, to wear your lifeline. It's a matter, and you put it well, I think, the first year, you said it's a matter of selfishness.
Yeah. It truly is, Raj, because if you make the decision not to wear a harness, think about how selfish that is. You're saying, someone else is going to have to take care of me if I fall. Somebody's
right.
going to have to get a hold of my wife. Somebody's going to get me out of the woods. You're putting all the burden of the negative end result that can happen by that decision onto someone else. And that's so very selfish. And I've talked to people about that many, many times and said, don't put me in that position. If you're going to hunt with me, you're going to wear a harness. You're going to stay connected to that lifeline, because I'm not going to be the one to have to call your wife. I don't want to gather your kids together and tell them daddy's not coming home. I don't want to be put in that position. And don't, for selfish reasons, put me in that position. You know, you owe that to your family and those that love you and yourself to make sure that you come home safe. And it's so simple today, Raj. That's the point. We have accidents every year. And we get all these statistics that come out, and I've looked at every single report and every accident report I've ever seen, and I realize if they just did these two things, wear the harness and connect before you leave the ground, it would have eliminated that. It didn't matter how the accident happened. It would have eliminated 100% of them.
Yeah. Tree stand breaks.
You
fall off at the vulnerable point of transitioning from climbing to sitting. Everything from when you leave the ground to when you come back is covered by a harness and a lifeline.
That's right. Yep. And it doesn't mean you won't fall, but what it means is you won't hit the ground.
Right.
You may fall and boom, harness catches you, lifeline catches you, get back on the step and continue your hunt. And your day now continues just like you wanted it to continue, unlike you didn't want it to continue, go into an emergency room or worse.
You know, you mentioned, you know, you fall, the lifeline catches you. Something important here, you really need to practice recovering from your lifeline catching you.
Yes. Yeah, that's a very good point, Roger. I'm glad you bring it up, because I think quite often we don't think through those things. You know, I talk to people a lot of times, they say, oh yeah, I've got my harness and you know, I'm safe. And I say, well, good for you. You know, that's the first step. Now, do you connect to the tree, to that line, to something before you step up on the first step? And you see this blank look sometimes. And
I'll put it on.
Well, you know, I'm wearing my harness. Well, the harness might as well be a rock in your pocket until you're connected to the tree. And then, like you said, you want to think through what happens now after the fall. Have we thought that through? What am I going to do at that point? What's my next step? Well, if you're on a ladder stand, you can easily get back on the ladder. If you're lock-on style, hopefully you're near those steps. You can just get back on the steps. But what happens if it's not convenient? What if I fall on the other side or over that branch or I'm behind the tree or something that's making it more difficult to be able to get that relief? and you have to think about how you're going to do it. Every harness we have comes with a suspension relief strap. And the important thing there is to make sure you've got that suspension relief strap with you all the time, every single time.
Right.
And don't leave it in your backpack, which might be on the ground. I've fallen, I have it, but it's in my backpack on the ground. So I can't get to it. It needs to be in an accessible pocket at all times. It's not a big strap, doesn't take up a lot of space, but always keep that in your pocket. And with that, if you do find yourself in that position of hanging and not being able to get relief, you just simply connect that to your harness, step into the loop, and now it relieves every bit of the pressure points on your arteries, most importantly those femoral arteries coming down through your legs.
That's right.
And which stops blood flow and can cause serious injury and even death.
Yeah.
So that one little strap can save your life in that case. But you hit the nail right on the head there, Raj. Practice that. You know, before you ever go hunt, just go outside the front yard, maybe with an able-bodied adult there
sure.
next to you in case you have a little problem. Get up on a chair. Feel what it feels like to suspend. Hook up that suspension relief strap, not for the first time while you're dangling in a tree, but before you ever get to that point so you understand what it takes to do that, the strength it takes, the coordination, you're hanging. It's very simple when you're 2 feet on the ground and you hook yeah. something up, but it's totally different when you're hanging.
And when you practice with it, it makes you realize what could happen. You know, it's mm-hmm. like a wet towel, you know, in the face. Wow, this could happen when I'm up in a tree. And
that's right.
This wouldn't happen if I wasn't wearing my vest and my lifeline. I could be laying on the ground right now, too.
And you know, it always happens to the other guy, doesn't it? You know, we're never going to fall. And that's just human nature. We all think that way. And the fact that it always happens to the other guy, I always tell people, I said, you know what? To you, I'm the other guy.
That's
and
right.
To me, you're the
you're
other,
the other guy.
Guy.
So we're both the and other guy.
We're both the other guy. And statistics are showing that 1 in 3 of us at some time during our hunting life, we're going to fall. 1 in 3. That's a huge, disturbing number.
Right.
That we're going to fall. Now, luckily, or hopefully, you might be connected when you fall.
Yep.
But if you're not, you're going to face the devastating effects of not being connected. So it's simple. It's easy. It's easy, comfortable products are out there. They're hunter-friendly. They're affordable. And they're tested and certified to industry standards, so you know when you purchase it, it's gone through this rigorous set of standards that are going to come about at the time it needs to come about, and you don't have to worry about trying to do that yourself.
Wow. Man, we always get going and we just don't know when to stop, do we? But it's great. It's great information, and everybody needs to hear this. So quickly, there are a couple of things over on the Hunter Safety System side I'd like to talk about. Number one is you have a ladies' vest out now.
Yeah. It's really neat. You know, it's called the Contour, and it got its name because the contour of a lady's body. You know, it's just different than a man. And our ladies' version is not a man's version with some pink accents to it. You know, this is made and cut and designed specifically for women. And I get that comment back all the time from ladies saying, thank you so much for taking care of these issues for us, because I'm tired of wearing a man's pants that have a little pink trim line on it, and they're trying to sell it as a lady's pant. No, we're built differently. And we made this harness with the lady in mind, and we got all of our lady pro staff in and got their advice when we were building it. In fact, they hurt my feelings too.
Ah, they did.
The first ones I built, they looked at me and shook their head and said, no, you don't get it.
Right.
And it really woke me up, and I did what I thought was right, and they
sure.
set me straight. They said, no, Chair. And they started going through and making me understand the woman's point of view and what makes it valuable to them. Because, and even men today, you know, we're kind of conscious about the way we look. And we want to look good.
Sure.
And if we're going to spend money on something, why not spend money on something that's going to be flattering and make me look better? And that's certainly so with ladies. You know, their fabric on their harness, everywhere where it's black, it's a stretch panel. It'll give to where they need it to give. It's got a beautiful trim line on it, which is backed by a black outer, which when you back away from it, you don't see the black portion. You just see the trim line.
Right.
And it's very flattering looking,
yep,
to the ladies, but it's also cut. The harness is cut in that fashion to absorb and work well with the ladies' form. So it's accepted well by the ladies. We get lots of great feedback from it, and thanks to our lady pro staff setting me straight, we finally got it right.
This Lima Shield, some of your harnesses now come with Lima Shield. Take a second, tell us about that.
Roger, this is so exciting. I mean, I don't know that I've ever worked on a project that is just more exciting as this Lima Shield is, because everybody is concerned about scent control. And we've got lots of options out there for scent control. And what makes one different from another? Well, a Lima Shield is one of those new technologies that's coming out that you are going to hear more and more about. 3 and 4 years from now, there's going to be a Lima Shield everywhere. Right now, it's only in Hunter Safety System products. We're bringing it to the industry, but we'll be spreading it throughout the industry as we go. But,
okay,
you know, it's a revolutionary approach to controlling human scent before it forms. And it's an active scent control technology that produces a strong molecular chain of atoms that kind of resemble a microscopic bed of nails, so to speak. And those atoms physically pierce the cell walls of odor-causing bacteria, which eliminates odor on contact. So it's a physical reaction. It's not a poison. It's not like a silver that works in a similar fashion, but it poisons it and kills the bacteria. This is a physical reaction that actually pierces the bacteria and kills it on contact, which means odor can never form. Also, when it's impregnated into that fabric, it's good for the life of that fabric. You can't wash it out and you can't wear it out. It's
wow.
always, always there. So, and it also stops mold and mildew. If your product is wet, you happen to throw it in your bag and you get it out 2 days later, you can only imagine what it's going to be like.
Right.
Absolutely no problem here. I took two harnesses, by the way. This was August a year ago. I soaked them both in water. Took them out. One was treated, Lima Shield, one's not. Took them out. They're still wet. I put each one in its own separate bag, those sort of unique bags now that you can roll up and seal them off.
Sure.
Well, they've been in there now for a year. And last week, I just opened those two bags up for probably the 10th time, but opened it up, and one of those bags, when you open it up, you just immediately close it. You know, you want to run out of the room.
Okay.
And the other bag, when you open it up, you can put your head in the bag. You can just, you're trying to find an odor. There's no odor. There's no physical bacteria. You don't see anything in it. It's just like any other harness you'd ever see. And it's just that proof of concept that shows that this works and continues to work visually. I mean, you can see it and with odor. I mean, the one's pretty disgusting.
Yeah, but, I bet.
And they were done exactly the same time and side by side. So it's an amazing technology, and it's in three of our products right now, including the ladies' product.
Okay.
But it's in our upper units. It's in our hybrid and our elite model and our lady contour model, the ones that have the most fabric.
Okay.
But everything on those harnesses are treated with a Lima Shield. The strapping material, the binding, the zippers, everything. Everything
okay.
is treated.
Very cool. That sounds like, you know, and the most, the one person that's more interested in that scent and everything is the deer you're after. So the Lima
right.
Shield. Yeah, you know, scent control is a huge thing. I got one question for you in closing.
Yeah.
I am, I think I'm done hanging off sides of trees on climbing stands. I just, You know, every time I leave the ground, I think sooner or later something's going to break, something's going to happen. So I'm transitioning over either over to box stands or ladder stands.
Mm-hmm.
All the way. Two-man ladder stands, you have a tandem harness, a tandem lifeline. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, not a harness, but tandem lifeline that should work just perfectly with two-man ladder stands, right?
Absolutely. You know, okay. If you're going to be hunting with someone else in the same tree, whether it's you and your wife, you and your child, you and a cameraman, but both of you are going up the same tree, you don't have to have two lifelines. We now have the lifeline tandem, and it's you both connect to the same line. You both have your own carabiner and prusik knot that slides up and down, and you never have to disconnect. When you both get up into your stand, just stay connected. No need for a strap around the tree or hooked to anything else. Just stay connected to that lifeline, and you do so until you get back to the ground and then disconnect and walk away. So it's a way to be able to save some money. You don't have to buy two. You can do both with the same one, and much more convenient. And it's a way to protect two people at the same time.
Jerry, as always, I appreciate you being on the show. We always have a good time. Folks, if you need a vest, a harness, lifeline, Hunter Safety Systems is the place to go. You've heard their story from the beginning today on the show, and I appreciate him taking his time. Jerry, thank you. I look forward to seeing you at ATA in Indianapolis in January.
Sounds great. You know, Rod, can I say one thing?
Sure, go ahead.
You know what? We're making an offer right now, a first time ever, and it's a bundle package on our website. You can only get it on our website, but if your listeners are needing a harness right now, they're going to get the best deal they've ever had. And when you buy the particular model that you want, in fact, if you buy an elite model, you get the hanger harness for free.
I saw that. Oh.
It's a tremendous opportunity for somebody that's looking to get a harness. It's the best deal that's ever been offered. But it's only on huntersafetysystem.com, so anybody I recommend anybody come and have a look.
Very good. Jerry, take care. Appreciate you as always, and looking for a new innovation coming in January.
Thank you, brother. Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir. Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. If you take one thing from the last half an hour of me and Jerry talking about whatever, you know, tree stand safety is a matter of selfishness, really. Yeah, we don't want to be up there and be inconvenienced by being strapped to a tree or whatever like that, not wearing that harness or lifeline. But it's the other people around us that'll pay for our selfishness. Anyway. We all want you to come home safe at the end of the day, be able to go out again tomorrow, next year, 10 years down the road. Turn It Off, How Technology is Killing the Joy of National Parks. Story from May 15th. As drones, smartphones, and other gadgets invade America's most tranquil trails, many lament the loss of peace and quiet. This is Sam Levin in San Francisco from The Guardian. Andrew Studer was admiring a massive lava fire hose at Hawaii Volcanoes National Park when he spotted something unusual, a small quadcopter drone flying very close to the natural wonder, pouring molten rock. There were other visitors sitting around, relaxing in somewhat of a meditative state, just trying to enjoy this phenomenon. I do feel like drones are extremely obnoxious, and I'm sure it was frustrating for some of the people there. In recent years, there have been growing concerns about technology invading national parks, with drones and other noisy gadgets disrupting wilderness areas, wildlife habitats, and other recreational areas. While the boom in drones has increasingly spoiled the natural sound that the National Park Service is charged with protecting, there has also been a rising number of reports of social media use leading hikers to snap inappropriate and dangerous selfies, threatening wildlife and the environment in the process. Being in nature, you should be focused on nature, said Rudy Rocio, an NPS program coordinator who works on preserving natural sounds. Nature is very healing. Leave the tech at home or put it away and turn it off. And I wholeheartedly agree on that. You know, and the article goes on, it's a pretty good one. I may come back to it later on. But at the FLW Cup in 2014, you know, drones made their first appearance. And, you know, the fishermen weren't very happy about it. They were you know, this is disturbing, not only to our fishing, but to the fish. I mean, you think about a fisherman who's trying to get a topwater bite, and you got a drone hovering over him. I know down here a couple weeks ago in Lake Murray, there were times when the drone was, you know, 5 feet off the deck of the boat, almost at eye level with him, or hovering right over these guys. I know it's got to be aggravating. But the whole thing of this thing is, you know, nature, when you're out there, just turn it off. I mean, before we had cell phones, I'd drive 8, 10, 12 hours, and nobody would know anything about how I was. You know, I'd call when I got to my destination. So when you go to a state park, when you go hiking, when you go fishing, turn it off. Yeah, selfies and all that are cool, and there I'm bad about a camera, but that's not something I'm texting on or Facebooking on or whatever. So just when you get out in nature, let it be nature. Turn it off, unplug, and let nature, you know, they need a break from it all too, because they're exposed to it just like we are. Well, it's been another good show. I hope you've enjoyed it. I enjoyed being here. I don't know exactly what the doves have done today. You know, it's, you always take a chance, because what happened this week with this Harvey coming through, you know, it's bringing cool temperatures, but it's probably really messed the dove hunting up. I may have been sitting out on the for hours on end watching the dragonflies fly around. I've done that before too. But anyway, now's the time to make plans to get out there. There's so much to do across South Carolina. So many places to go and immerse yourself in nature, the outdoors, unplug, get away from it all. I hope you will. You don't make the time, you'll never have it done. So anyway, join us again here next week from Woodwoods and Water, South Carolina. Take time to get out there. Take those back roads, man. Those are the places where South Carolina comes alive. And as always, don't forget that camera, because you never know what picture you might be able to get. We'll see you next week on More Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Ain't it just like a friend of mine to hit me from so high as I'm gone.